Okay, so listen, guys, I'm going to talk to you about baptism, and then I'm going to dismiss you, okay? So I'm going to tell you a story about the Apostle Paul. Now, are you ready, guys? And mommy may have to sit up there with the kids. So here we go. All right, now the Apostle Paul, the story we have the Apostle Paul that will be shown up on the screen, but that's okay. If you don't see it, we'll just talk about it, okay? Here's what the Apostle Paul happened. The Apostle Paul was riding on a horse, and he was going to a town called Damascus. And then all of a sudden, a light shone in heaven, and the Apostle Paul fell off the horse and heard a voice of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And that's when he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And then he said, I'm Jesus. Okay? And then Paul says this. He says, "I want you to..." Then Jesus said to him, I want you to go to this street, and I want you to meet this guy named Ananias, and he's going to take care of you. All right? So Paul can't see. He's blinded because of the light. So somebody has to lead him by the hand. Yeah, you see that? You know what that's like? Putting something over your eyes and you can't see. You don't know where you're going. Somebody's got to hold you by the hand. And so, hey, Fancy, look at this. Look at this. I got something to show you in just a second, okay? Watch this. You'll like this. So Paul ended up being at a place he couldn't see. He knew that Jesus had talked to him, and yet Ananias goes and sees him, right? And Ananias says to him, "Look, Paul, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me to, so that you may..." Everybody point to your eyes. "Regain your sight." Got it? "And," everybody put something on your hand and your heart, "be filled with the Holy Spirit." Everybody say, "Filled with the Holy Spirit." Point to your eyes. "Regain your sight." And point to your ears. Who is he listening to? Jesus. So he was able to hear Jesus. And God was going to heal his vision because he didn't really see Jesus, right? And then he says, "I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell off his eyes. Everybody just do this with your eyes. Go. Whoosh. All of a sudden the scales fell off. Yeah, that's right. And then he regained his sight. And then here's what happened. He got up. You're not up. Everybody getting baptized, get up. Stand up. He goes, "What are you doing? Get up and get baptized." Are you ready? All right, now you can sit down. You did a good job, guys. Let's give them a hand for acting that. That was really good. He says, now look. He says, "Saul, what are you doing? You've met Jesus. I just healed you. Get up and get baptized. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Get baptized." Right? Right? What are you waiting for? Yeah. All right, everybody sit down. How many of you love it on Thanksgiving when your family puts this fantastic meal together? Yeah. How many of you love it? I love it because you know what you're smelling all day for me? You're smelling the turkey. It smells really good. What else are you smelling? Baking for my wife? Cornbread. What? Mashed potatoes. It smells... What else do you like? Pumpkin pie. Now, here's a question. Francie, what's your favorite food on Thanksgiving? Do you like pumpkin pie? Do you like turkey? How many of you don't like pumpkin pie, but you like a different kind of pie? Yeah, like what? What do you like?
I like cherry pie.
Cherry pie. Yes. As a matter of fact, on Thanksgiving, we usually have more than one kind of pie. What do you like? What's your favorite pie?
Pineapple pie.
Pineapple pie. That's wild. That's awesome. That's really cool. Okay, now listen. Listen. Here's my point. Everybody listen now. Now I need your eyes because I asked you some questions. Ready? When mommy says it's time for dinner, what do? You don't just go, oh, it's Thanksgiving dinner. I think I'll just play my game some more. No, no, no. What do? What do I do? You get up. Come on, get up. And you go, man. Woo! Right? Right? When Thanksgiving is, you're smelling all this good food. You did great. Sit down, guys. That's great. Sit down. Isn't that right, though? Isn't that right? I mean, like, when you're smelling all this good food all day, can everybody say amen to that? And then all of a sudden the dinner's ready. You're like, yeah, baby, I'm coming. Don't stop me now. Like, feet don't fail me now. I know who has said that, but that's one of my favorite sayings. Okay, so now, what happened? He said, I want you to regain your sight and be filled with the Spirit. What are you doing? I want you to get up and be baptized. And so I've got three towels here. Now, y'all sit down for a second. He said, the Bible says, then when we get saved in Hebrews chapter 10, 22, it says that our hearts are sprinkled with blood. Everybody say sprinkle. Now, is that a lot of water or a little water, or is it a lot? What is it? So when you sprinkle something, how much water is it? Just tell me, how much water? Is it a little bit?
A little bit.
It's just a little bit of water. And so I've got this container here. All right. Now, look. This container is to make my eyes better. They're eye drops, right? Now, is this the container of eye drops? Oh, come on. It would be so much more fun just to do this on your eyes, right? No. Oh, as a matter of fact, this is all you need. Listen to me. Brucey, you got to see this is good. This is all you need to put in your eyes. You just put one drop. Just one drop. Except, listen now, the Apostle Paul, what healed the Apostle Paul's eyes? Just one drop of what? The blood of Jesus. On our hearts, it says our hearts are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Now, you can't see the blood of Jesus on your heart, right? But when you get saved, guys, when you get saved, it's because you get the blood of Jesus, and all you need, everybody say, just one drop. Say it again. Just one drop. Try it again. Just one drop. The Apostle Paul's heart got the blood of Jesus. Just one drop. That's all he needed. And his eyes were healed. All you need is one drop. Okay. Now, hang in there, guys. Gracie, can you hang in there? Okay. So all I need to take care of my eyes is a tissue. If I start crying because I'm sad, right? Sophia, I'm asking you a question. If I'm crying because I'm sad, do you wipe your eyes with this? No. Do you wipe your eyes with this? No. Why? Because this is all you need. This is all you need, guys. So when you're sad, listen, sometimes, listen to me, guys. Sometimes we're so sad, but then God takes the dropper. See the dropper over there? Yeah. And that sadness is dealt with because our eyes are blinded by our pain. We can't see because we're hurting. And that drop will take care of our pain, and all we need is a tissue. That's all we need. When Jesus heals you, all you need is a tissue. Every now and then, every Christian gets hurt. Do we stop crying because we get saved? No, we cry sometimes because things hurt us, but it doesn't overwhelm us. All we need is a tissue to take care of our tears when we got Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? Do you got that, guys? So all you need is a tissue because you've got Jesus. All right. But then, I'm going to save this towel for later. When you get baptized, what do you need? A really big towel. Why? For some people, I think this is big enough for you, Dallas, okay? Right? Why is it? Why do you say, what are you sitting there for? Get the big towel. Get in the water. Why? Now that God has touched your heart with one drop. Do you see where I'm going with this, Kenny? Now that God has touched your heart with one drop. Virgil, God's touched your heart with one drop. What do you have to do now? You don't need one drop. What do you need? You need a big towel because you're going where? You're going in the tub or the river. You're going to jump in all the way. Everybody say all the way. All the way. That's right. You know why? Do you know why? You know why, Mercy? Why do you go all the way in the water? Because Jesus went all the way to the cross and he went all the way to the grave for you. Can somebody say amen to that? And therefore, you go all the way in the water. All the way, baby. Every bit of you, Bruce, every bit of you is in the water when you get baptized. And you're going to need a big towel because guess what? All of you needs to be clean. I mean, when you get in there, how many of you, whether you prefer, raise your hand if you prefer showers. How many of you like tubs? All I know is that when I was a kid, my mama did not put me in the shower. When I was a kid, I had to soak in the tub. How many of you do tubs? Do you go to the tub or you shower? You're a tub person, right? Are you a tub? When I was a kid, I was a tub person. When I was a kid, I was a tub person. Why? Because I had dirt in places I never knew existed, and I needed a good soaking. Because when I was a kid, I got really dirty. And I enjoyed it. Because I was having a good time playing, right? But, I'm going to finish it right here. When you go in the water, he cleans everything up. Everything. Everything about you. But, there will be times you need a bucket. Now, you can't take a bath in here, sorry. Even you, I don't think you can get in there, Grace or Fancy. I don't think you can, but maybe Micah, right? But Micah's a little bit young to get dirty. But guess what? I know there are times when little Gracie and Bruce, and I know when you guys get out there and play, you get pretty dirty. But here's the thing. Jesus said that when you're washed in the tub and you're all the way clean, and you go out to play and you're dressed, the only thing you're going to have to worry about is your bare feet. And I tell you, I've seen some of you. I know this is the truth. How many of you like to play in bare feet? Yeah. And how many times you see them come in and like the bottoms of their feet are like black? Come on, parents, say amen. All you need to do, though, do you keep them black? No. If your dirty is if your feet are dirty, do you need to take a bath? No, not if just your feet's dirty. What do? Use this. Now look, you get baptized once. Hear me now. This is the last thing I'm going to tell you. Now you need to hear me, Brucey. Are you ready, Bruce? Ready? Here we're going to go. If you take a bath, your whole body's clean. But there are going to be times when you need to just wash the dirty feet. Just let me finish, okay, and then you can tell me later, okay? There are some times when all you need to do is get the bottoms of your feet dirty, and guess what? Somebody else has to do it. That's where we come in to love one another. We love one another. We love one another as Christians because we have to wash their feet, because sometimes they're, even though your body is clean from head to toe, even though your body's clean, we still do stupid, unbad stuff as Christians. We still need forgiveness, and God wants us to learn to forgive each other even when we've been baptized. So there are times when you get baptized in that river, listen to me, it's important. After you get baptized, realize there are going to be times when you're going to have to go to somebody and say, I'm really sorry because I was mean to you. I'm really sorry because I did something wrong to you. And all you need to do is just take the hand towel. You do not need the bath towel anymore once you're baptized. You hear me? Let me say it again. Once you're baptized, you never use this again. Once you meet Jesus, you never need this again. You never need the heart sprinkling, because once your heart is healed, you're healed for eternity. Come on, somebody say amen to that. And once you've been baptized, you don't need the bath towel anymore. Your body is clean all the way, baby. All you need to do is every now and then, when you need to, is humble yourself and let someone love you when you are not at your best. Love you when you're having a hard time. And don't let the devil tell you you think you've lost your whole body. Your body is not dirty. It's just your feet. Then just get them washed and let someone love on you and humble them. And you just receive that love. Okay? You hear me? You got that, guys? So are you ready for baptism? Are you ready? Are you guys ready? Good. Do you understand that once you're baptized, you'll never need the bath towel again? You got it? Say yes, Grandpa. Yeah, you go, boy. You got that? And once you got your eyes healed, Paul's eyes were healed because his heart got just one drop of blood. Just like that Helzer song. Just one drop. That's all it took. Amen? Because Jesus shed every single ounce of his blood at the cross. So I can get one drop. That's all it took. That's all it took. Amen? Okay, last but not least, Pastor John, why is this bottle here? All right, I got a question for you. So Olivia, after you take a bath, do you drink the water?
I don't know.
You don't know? Let's try somebody else. Mercy. After you take a bath, do you drink the water?
No.
No. That's right. That's right. After you take a bath, you don't drink the water. And you don't go to the river and take a bath and then just drink out of the river. Right? No, don't do that either. Why? Because God's got some kind of water for you. Listen to me. Here we go now. Shh. Now look here. This water is pure. This is the Holy Spirit. And from now on, I'm drinking it. I have a life of Holy Spirit drunk. I'm drinking that Holy Spirit every day. Everybody, come on, I want you to drink with me like you got a bottle of water. Ready? One, two, three, drink. You can't live without it. This is the water of the baptism of the Holy Spirit right here. Drink it in. Jesus said this, or actually the Apostle John the Baptist said this, I'm baptizing you with water. There's the bath towel. But Jesus is going to give you bottled water. You want it? I drank out of it, but that's all right. You hear me? Do you see that? I wish I had bottles for everybody. You need to. You can't just jump in the tub and then say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to drink in Holy Spirit. So hear me, guys. One more talk. All right. Eyes on me. Eyes on PJ. Here we go. Eyes on PJ. Mercy, you too. Eyes on PJ. Here we go. Shh. After your baptism, we want to pray for you so that you can take a really good drink of Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. So do it. Say, okay, I'll take Holy Spirit. All right? You got that? You guys ready for some water? But you got to go in the river first, and then you get that water right there. All right, thank you very much. And we've got a whole thing of bottled water out there, too. We'll pray for you. All right, guys, can you guys say amen? And thank you for the guys being so good about this. You guys did a really good job today. Let's give the Lord a praise. Come on, glory. All right, you can go out. You can go on to Children's Church. And then I'm going to finish my message. So, I'm going to give you some scriptures, okay, that kind of backed up what I said. Acts 22:14-16. The Lord just said, use Paul and Paul's baptism. So what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. I love that. Paul was blinded by the glory of God, and God told him to get up and be baptized. What are you waiting for? My personal testimony is very interesting. I was raised in a church that sprinkled babies. I didn't go to a Dunkin' church. Not Dunkin' Donuts, guys. You got that? Everybody say not Dunkin' Donut church, but a Dunkin' church, or when you got immersed, okay? Actually, a Dunkin' Donuts church doesn't sound like such a bad idea. Yeah. They had pretty good coffee and everything. So anyway. All right, so he says, why are you waiting? So my personal testimony was, because I went to a church where they sprinkled when I was a baby, I got saved in August, and I went to college, in my first year of college, and I knew I was saved. I knew I was saved because Jesus appeared to me. I mean, he spoke to me. I heard his voice. I got born again. I knew I was different. But I felt like something was missing, something I didn't do that I should have done. And so I went on through the first semester, and I was kind of struggling. And I'd heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I really wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't get it at the time. I was like, why didn't I get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why, you know, I kept praying and seeking the Lord and read books about it, you know. I'm that kind of guy that if I want to know about something, get a book and read it and try to figure it out, right? Anybody like me? No? Yes? Yeah, you get a book, you read it. So I was reading these books, and I was praying, I was doing what they were saying, and it wasn't happening. Why? Well, at the very end of the first semester, I was talking to one of Mary Ann's buddies, and we had this Jesus revival going on back then, and I forgot who it was, but Karen or somebody. Well, anyway, and she was like, hey, you know, we started talking about water baptism, and the Holy Spirit just started convicting me, and it's like, man, I got to get water baptized. I realized I didn't do that after I got saved. So when I went home, I called the retreat center and people that I knew out there, and it was on the North Shore. And they said, sure, we'll baptize you. Come up here, spend the night, and we'll get you baptized. Well, when was it? It was December 24th. It was cold. Not like this. It was up on the Long Island Sound, and it was up in New York, and it was cold, like maybe 32 degrees, 34 degrees. But that was the only option I had. And so, but I want you to hear me on this. I knew I had to do it. And if I had, my attitude was at that time, if I have to break the ice and get baptized, I'm doing it. If I got to be, what do they call those polar bear jumps? Anybody do a polar bear jump? I've never done one before. Plunge? Has anybody ever done that? I've never done it. I would have done it if I had to. But, very rarely does it ever, salt water freeze there. But I knew I had to be baptized. So I went through the teaching. I got baptized. And I knew I did the right thing. I just knew it. I was shaking so much when I got in the water. They thought demons were coming out of me or something. Because I was like, they're like, oh, quick, baptize him.
It was cold, you know. I was just shaking. It wasn't the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you. I was cold. So, and I was calling on the name of Jesus because I was cold. Jesus! No. Okay, because that's what it says. Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And that thing, when it means calling on his name, that again, it wasn't like so I was screaming help, Jesus, like a generic thing. What happened was when I got baptized, something shifted in me. And I started calling on God like I never did before. I just started calling on Jesus. I knew something had changed. So I got myself together, went home, and it was the week, you know, week after Christmas and everything. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'll pray, and I'll just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll get filled. And I was, you know, like reaching for the bottle, and nothing happened. Nothing. And then New Year's Eve, I went to a praise party, New Year's Eve party, which we like to do around here, too. And I got in the meeting, and I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Holy Spirit said to me, as clear as a bell, Jesus said to me, John, ask them to pray for you now. This may be your last, you know, I'm telling you, do it now and don't mess up. But I said, Lord, I'm nervous. I mean, I don't want them to, I'll be in front of everybody. It was like 20 people, 30 people there. Like, I didn't want to be put on the spot. Like, what if they pray for me and nothing happens? Anybody think that? Why should I pray for somebody, or why should I get prayer? Because I'm afraid something's not going to happen. Well, you know what God said to me? Do it, boy. Kind of like, it was like, do it or, like, this is it. I'm telling you, you better do it. You ever have God talk to you like that? There are times when God said to me, like, you better do this. Like, and that's it. All of a sudden, quiet. Anybody get that from God where God will tell you something and he means it, and then it's like chirp, 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 quiet. You don't hear anything else because he can go to tell you again because he know you heard him. So you better just decide to go ahead and do what God tells you to do. I'm serious. I've had mom and dad like that, and there are times when God treats me like a son. And he'll tell me that, and he won't say it again if I ask him because he knows I heard him the first time. Okay. Maybe you're not like me, but sometimes God has to talk to me like that. Then, if you go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 17, if you look Acts 9:17, this is where he tells his story again in Acts chapter 9. So Acts chapter 22, he tells the story. Acts chapter 9, this is where it actually happens. Ananias departs and goes to the house, and laying his hands on Paul, he said, Brother Saul, Acts 19, verse 17, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice that Paul, this is what Ananias actually told him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit after you wash your sins away. There it is. So I had to stand on that word. I'm going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've gotten myself washed away. It's going to happen. And we don't see in Paul's story about Paul actually getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. We don't see that. We don't see that story. But we do know that Paul spoke in tongues more than everybody did in Corinth. So we knew he was baptized in the Holy Spirit at one time. And of course, he said, I went to Jerusalem not long after that and fell into a trance, and Jesus talked to me. He said, get out of Jerusalem. So I heard the voice of God. I saw him. And so we know that he actually had encounters with God, and he actually was filled with the Spirit. Okay? And that baptism, you can write down Jesus talking to John the Baptist talking about baptisms in Matthew 3:11-12. Okay? So that's very important. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus told him, don't leave Jerusalem yet. You're not ready. You're not ready. Don't go. And God said, you ain't going back to school yet. Don't go back to college until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I did it on New Year's Eve. I only went back to school a few days later, so he got me filled with the Holy Ghost. Good, because when I came back, it was completely different than the first time. My first semester of college, I knew I was saved, but I was struggling in a lot of ways. I knew that there was something missing. I knew I had something missing in my life. I knew it. There was something in me that said somehow, and it wasn't just that I wasn't speaking in tongues. I felt like there was a piece of my hardware that had yet to be activated or installed. And so I got back to school, and what did he say? He said, John baptized in water, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then if you go to Acts 2:4, it says they were all filled with this Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what is utterance? It means the ability to speak. And that's the hard part. It says what? You're calling on the name of the Lord, and that calling on the name of the Lord only comes from the Holy Spirit in you talking from your heart to the Lord. There's a joint speech, if you will, between Holy Spirit and your brain, and somehow they come into alignment. Peter says later in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The ability to have the water of the Holy Spirit is a gift. Baptism is not a gift. It's something you do. Right? Salvation is a gift. You have no way of sprinkling the blood of Jesus on your heart. Only God can do that. I thank God that he did that for me. So I had the blood was sprinkled on my heart on August 24th of 1974. I was baptized in water December 24th, so I used my bath towel. The eye drops happened on August 24th. But then this didn't come till December 31st. That's when I started drinking. How? I started talking. As a matter of fact, I said, these people are drunk. And have you know that when people are intoxicated, some talk a whole lot. It suppresses the speech center. And so they end up talking in a bad way, I might add. But in the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to speak in a good way. I'm glad for that. Thank you. Thank you for that. Amen, brother. I thank you for the ability to talk. And one of the reasons why people have trouble receiving the Holy Spirit, I'm just telling you, sometimes people don't receive it quickly because they have trouble letting go and saying something that doesn't make sense to them. They just do. They just want to speak with their natural mind, and they're actually hearing Shakaharama in their head. And they go, what's that? It doesn't make sense to me. Or lakibati. Like, what's that? It doesn't make sense to them. So they hold their mouth hard. And for some people, the way to help someone get over that is simply to say, look, just whatever you get from God, it may be la, la, la. Say it. That's what I'm saying. You just say it. You don't hold back what you're getting because you think it doesn't make sense. It's really funny because we humans think we make sense a whole lot, but we actually don't. And the more I see stuff on the internet, the more I realize there are people that really don't make sense when they really think they do. I mean, they say the most incredibly ridiculous, just incredibly ridiculous things. And they think they're really smart. As a matter of fact, there's some people that have advanced degrees that say the most incredibly ridiculous things. They do. So even a great degree As a matter of fact, my good friend, and you've heard him, some of you, Found Schultz, he says PhD stand for permanent head damage. You know, because of who is doing the talking. And you've been living with the devil talking in your head. Come on. You've been living with the devil talking in your head. And you've got to be willing to shut that devil up and start saying what God says. And that needs the gift. Everybody say gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. We need it. Only God can give it to us. And we've got to be willing to open up our mouth and speak and receive the gift of being able to talk in another language that we don't understand and talk the word of God when it doesn't make sense to us. Some people have trouble speaking tongues when it's a Bible verse in their language that they don't want to say because it doesn't make sense to them. I've been there too. Maybe not you, but there are times when God's had to deal with me and say, I want you to say what my word says, even though it doesn't make sense to you. Say it. Okay, Lord. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. When I don't feel like being a conqueror. Anybody like me? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That may be very hard for you to say when you're down. That those tears are actually seeds. Or it could be a seed of an offering that you give when you don't seem to have enough anyway, and God says give anyway, even when you don't think you've got enough. That's the seed. That means you do something that it looks like what you have is the good that you have is disappearing in order to get the great. Use the good that God gives you to get the better, the greater exchange, a divine exchange, as they say. Okay. We should always teach water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit together because that's what John the Baptist did. He never mentioned water baptism without talking about Jesus. And you can't talk about Jesus without talking about the Holy Spirit filling. Because that's what John said he did. How do I know Jesus? Oh, he's the one who fills people with the Holy Spirit. That's how I know who he is. What was the first thing that Jesus did when he went up to heaven? The first thing he asked the Father, come on, this is your quiz, pop quiz. The very first thing that he did, he asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit. That's what he did. Why? It's the only thing we need. First thing we need. The last thing we need. The only thing we need. The Holy Spirit is the first thing we need. It's the last thing we need. And it's the only thing we need is Holy Spirit. Because you got Holy Spirit, you got it all. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of your Father. It's the Holy Spirit. He's everything. And no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, you need Jesus. And if you come to Jesus, he'll give you your water bottle. Because he knows you're thirsty. He knows you're thirsty. You can't survive without water. You can't do it. Not very long. 3 days. Or what is it? 40. I forgot what it is, how long it can last without water. Long time. But not long, comparatively. You have to have water. And you can only get it
to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Last scripture, Acts 1, 6 through 8. It says, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, it's not for you to know. So there'll be times you'll have questions. You'll say, God, why did I just get in this car wreck? Or, God, why did so-and-so get sick? Or, why did my business fail? Or, why did someone treat me like this, who I really care about? Or why this or why that? And then Jesus said, it's not for you, no. But let me tell you what you're going to get. Holy Spirit. You're going to get power. Look what it says. But you will receive power. You're going to get power. Sometimes, and you got to hear me on this, sometimes we want to get something from God, but he wants to give us power. Take the power. Take the power. You need it. You need the power more than anything. Don't always expect an answer. Just take the power. If you get the power, you've got the answer. Because you may not care about the answer because the power is so good. Take the power. Take the power. And you will be my witnesses. And you'll tell people how much I am alive when you take the power from the Holy Spirit. It says, when do you get the power? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's what you need. We need the power. We don't always need the answer. Turn your brain off sometimes, guys. Come on, smart people. I know you're talking. I'm talking to you. Turn the brain off and take some power. Don't expect it. Don't try to work it out. Speak in the tongues. Receive power. And God will bless you. God will bless you. He will take you through. And we each need to receive the power. So I'm going to ask us to pray right now. I'm going to ask us to pray. Let's get ourselves in receiving mode. Receiving mode means open hands, open hearts. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, we just thank you, first of all, that you sprinkled our hearts with the blood of Jesus. That Jesus, you you shed your blood, and then you took your blood, and you, as the great high priest, you went into heaven, and you sprinkled all of our hearts. And all we needed was just one drop of it, because it's that awesome. And you shed every drop of your blood so that we can get one drop of it. And Lord, we thank you for that. We appreciate it. And we just acknowledge before you that our hearts have been changed because of your drops. So Lord, we receive the drop of blood right now. Just receive it again. If you've done it before, if you've never done it before, receive it now. Lord Jesus, I receive the drop of blood on my heart to make me whole. Lord, I receive it. You could say it to yourself quietly, or you could say it without saying it out loud, or say it out loud. However you want to say it. Lord, I receive your drop. I thank you, Lord, that you have made my heart. And Lord, I thank you for the drops on my eyes that made me able to see, and my ears to be able to hear. And Lord, I thank you also for those that have been baptized. I thank you for the bath towel that you gave me so that I could wash my whole body top to bottom. And now the only thing I have to do is keep my feet clean. It's not like it was. Oh, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like I was. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that I'm not like I was. And I receive that cleansing. And Lord, I also thank you that you gave me power when I kept wanting answers about the kingdom. You said, Lord, you said, I'm going to give you power and fill you with the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I receive your power.
Holy Spirit, I receive you now. And Lord, I surrender my mind. I surrender my thoughts. And I will say whatever you tell me to say, even if it doesn't make sense to my mind. Shekara morabati kamorobote. Shekiati de bokati etanamora bokati etanamara bokati etanamara bokeri. Ketiere danamora bokati eteroboki pitieri motari. Sheti aketiorodoroboki andenemikari. Hadie toke, hadie toke, hamoroboshibalakete. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for power when I'm faced with things I don't understand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you give me power to endure sorrow, shame, disappointments. And Lord, you gave me power to overcome pride. So when things are going well, I'm not acting like all that and a bag of chips either. Thank you for keeping me humble by the power of God. Forgive us, Lord, of our pride. Forgive us of our arrogance. Forgive us of thinking we know all. Just help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Keep us clean. And Lord, we thank you that you wash our feet. And other people wash our feet as well. Lord, we just say we receive the foot washing that we need as well on a daily basis, wherever it's from. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you that we want to be a witness to you by the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen. Amen. All God's people said amen.